touch upon today. And this is always your privilege and your liberty. The speaker does not bring out all the lessons upon the text or chapter, and so you might like to do that by yourself. Narratives of the Bible are very helpful to us because they teach us many lessons. And these narratives can be taken from a number of standpoints. Take, for instance, the story of the flood. It gives us lessons of the power of God, gives us lessons in His miracles, lessons in His wisdom, in His providence. And our Master refers to the flood from another aspect when He says, in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 39th verse, "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the present of the Son of Man be." And so we here notice that the Master gives us an example lesson. Another beautiful narrative of the Bible is Joseph and his brethren, showing God's outworkings in His people. And there are spiritual lessons that can be gained from this particular narrative. Another story is Ruth and Naomi. Beautiful in thoughts. Another story or narrative is Abraham and Isaac, and so forth. We could go down the line and number them, quite a few of them. And so for our ministry at this time, we'll take up one of these Bible narratives and then endeavor to gain some lessons. Turning our Bibles to verse 1 of 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, it tells us that after Samuel died, all the Israelites were gathered together and they lamented or mourned over Samuel. And then they buried him in the house, in his house at Ramah. We find that Samuel was a great and a noble prophet and judge, and he was one of the purest characters in the history of Israel, and the Israelites loved him very much. And so it's no wonder that they mourned over the death of this great prophet. And then in the second verse, it tells us, "And David arose and went down into the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and this man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing sheep in Carmel. And the name of this man was Nabal, which means stupid, wicked, impious, foolish. And the name of his wife was Abigail, which means source or cause of delight. And the scripture in verse 3 states that Abigail was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man, her husband, was churlish, or vulgar, rude, difficult to work with or deal with, and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb." As we consider this portion, this verse alone gives us a good insight into the characters of this married couple. And we see there is quite a contrast between the two. The one is of a goodly disposition, the other is of the opposite. Further, the scriptures say, "It came to pass that David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep. And so David gathered together 10 of his young men and said to them, Go over to Carmel and go over to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh into thine hand unto thy servants, and to thy son, David." And so, David's young men went to Nabal, and they told him all the words of David. And then we notice the reaction of Nabal in verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse?" There will be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Here we notice Nabal's reaction. And so, after hearing Nabal's answer, David's young men departed from Nabal and returned to David and told him all that had transpired. And after David heard the report, he said to his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And David also girded on his sword. And there went with David about 400 men on their way to Nabal. But in the meantime, one of the young men of Nabal's workforce went to Abigail, that is Nabal's wife, and he told her that David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute Nabal, and he railed on them. And then the young man continued and said to Abigail, "But David's men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep." And then the young man said to Abigail, "Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against his household, for he, that is Nabal, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." And then the scriptures say in verse 18, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said to her servants, 'Go on before me. Behold, I come after you.' But she told not her husband Nabal. And then it came to pass as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them in this junction. And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, 'Upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid.'" And then it continues on, Abigail speaking, "Let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing Jehovah hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal." Then verse 27, "And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given for the young men that follow thee." And then in verse 28, Abigail speaks further words of wisdom and understanding. And she begins to reason with David. And she says, "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord Jehovah, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yea, man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord Jehovah thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord Jehovah shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler of Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord Jehovah shall have dealt well with thee, with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. We notice paraphrasing here that Abigail is saying, and thou, David, because thou hast pursued a course which was not evil, God will watch over your life. And even though some would want to take your life, yet your life is hid in God, and he will sustain and keep thee, and your enemies he will mark out and sling out with the accuracy of a sling. But thou, David, when thou hast been made ruler over Israel, you will recall this incident. And as you remember it, you will recall that you have taken the right course, and that no grief had come to thee, nor will it be an offense to your heart that perhaps you have done wrong. Further, you will agree that by not pursuing your now intended course, you will have averted causeless bloodshed. And therefore, none can point to your avenging yourself. And when you do become ruler over Israel, forget not the words of thine handmaid that thy handmaid had spoken. In considering Abigail's words, we notice them to be full of wisdom and very wise in counsel. And then we notice, after listening to the words of Abigail, David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hastened and came to meet me, surely there had not been left anyone of Nabal's household. And so we find that David received of Abigail's hand that food which she brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came home to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. And Abigail told him nothing about her meeting with David until the morning had come. And the scriptures read in the 37th verse, and it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife told him of her experience with David, his heart weakened within him, and he received a stroke and became paralyzed. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal and he died. And then when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that had pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept this servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And Abigail hastened and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his beloved wife. A beautiful narrative and many lessons that can be gathered from it. Abigail, the woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. These words, brethren, are very complimentary. And if this narrative is written for our admonition, and I believe it is, we certainly can gain from it lessons which are helpful for the new creature. The record states that Abigail was a woman of good understanding. Just what does this statement mean to us? Well, as we think about it and consider it, The thought here seems to be that she was able to understand situations that arise in dealing with others. In other words, she was able to size up a situation and then proceed with a proper solution to it. And brethren, you know as well as I do, this involves action and reaction. It involves the motives and the thoughts and the character of others as well as oneself. It involves character in its many facets. And not all have this ability or this talent. I wonder, brethren, what we would have done if we were in Abigail's place. Many of us at times are misunderstood. And it becomes a pleasure to find someone who understands the situation at hand with a solution to it. And we who are in the school of Christ now are endeavoring to have good understanding of God's dealing with us as new creatures in Christ. We are endeavoring to have good understanding in our dealing with our brethren, and yes, with the world of mankind. And this good understanding must be learned now, on this side of the veil, so that it could be used in understanding mankind as we help them up to perfection in the glorious kingdom. Yes, this will be one of the requirements of the merciful high priest to have good understanding of human behavior. We notice also that Abigail, in being of good understanding, approached David in a humble and kindly attitude, explaining her position in the matter that took place. And my brethren, this is a good lesson for us. How do we approach our brethren in a given experience? Is the attitude amiable of winning thy brother, or is it condemning? Is it with helpfulness, or is it one-sided? Is it with understanding, or is it with a foregone conclusion? Abigail had the right approach. Abigail then acknowledged the headship of David, and especially of David as the anointed king to be of Israel. And then we notice that Abigail recognized or judged character extremely well and was able to point out the evil character of her husband. The scriptures admonish us to judge, to try the spirits. By their fruits ye shall know them. And the use of candid and unbiased judgment in comparing fruits of character, conduct or teaching with profession, and with the Word of God is necessary to the safety and protection of the Lord's people. And my brethren, those who disregard the Lord's warning and fail to exercise judgment expose themselves to the deceitful snares of the great adversary. Those who once professed that they were sanctified, that they were set apart, consecrated sacrificers as members of the body of Christ, and who partook of his cup of suffering and self-denial, and manifested a spirit of holiness, and gave evidences of developing the fruits and graces of the Spirit, we may safely consider that they were Spirit-begotten. And if these afterward repudiated the blood of the covenant and viewed the privilege of partaking of Christ's cup as something that is merely common or ordinary, and if these manifest no longer the fruits of the Spirit of God, but the fruits of the spirit of the adversary, we may well fear for them that they not only have lost the light, but have also lost the Spirit. And we to whom the testimony of divine truth has been given before whose mental vision the whole plan of God, with all its specifications, had been spread out and carefully explained, my brethren, we now stand on trial. Yea, under the final tests of that trial, which is either to provide, prove or disprove our worthiness to enter into the promised reward of the faithful. And among those whom we fellowship and bid Godspeed as faithful brethren in Christ, yea, it is our duty to judge as to whether they are still faithful to the truth in this day of the Lord. For it is written in 2 John 10 and 11, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. And so, my brethren, here is a responsibility as to our endorsement of another which we cannot ignore and still be faithful. And except we judge of one's course by its fidelity or infidelity to the truth, we shall be endorsing error quite as often as truth. And so, brethren, it is our privilege to know the truth and to hold it firmly and to be faithful to it to the very end. And if we so abide and walk in the light, we will quickly know when one has turned away from the light into darkness. And we will be able to render wholesome counsel and warning to such, if they will accept. Further, we notice that Abigail recognized the Lord God of Israel and the Lord's providence in David's life when she said in verse 26, Jehovah hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself. Recognizing God's providence for others as well as for ourselves is something that is developed in one's faith structure. In other words, it doesn't come all at once. It's a development. In our present trial state, while we walk by faith and not by sight, the question as to the leadings of divine providence is often a very perplexing one. In many instances, the children of God can see very serious errors in the course of some who suppose they are following the leadings of divine providence when, in fact, they are far astray from the Lord's expressed will. And so the subject of providence is one that needs very careful consideration in our lives. We know, and we have proven, that God does lead, directs, and disciplines his children. Not only by his written word, but also by making the circumstances of life work together for their good. The faithful, consecrated ones may recognize the circumstances of their daily life from the time of their consecration as shaped by the Lord. And if they have severe trials and testings of faith, testings of patience or of endurance, or if they have great obstacles and difficulties to surmount in their fervent desire to do the Lord's will, these should all be regarded as so many favors of God, which afford them opportunities of overcoming and of proving their faithfulness. Or, if in their faithful course, an unseen hand gently smooths the way at times and grants a sweet refreshment whereby new strength may be gathered for our future trials, this too may be gratefully recognized as the same divine providence. But if, because of a decline of zeal for God or a waning spirituality, we find ourselves smoothly drifting along with little to disturb or oppose us, there is indeed great room for concern. And though God may permit such for a long time to drift away and effectually separate themselves from the body of Christ, as surely as he loves them, the surges of trouble will by and by rise about them for their discipline and for their correction. And so, brethren, we see that from the standpoint of faithfulness or unfaithfulness, our experiences may be very differently regarded. If any of us consecrated have been unfaithful to their privileges, let them beware of the leading of circumstances. But the faithful may rejoice in all things and in everything give thanks, for all things shall work together for good to them. And then, my brethren, we notice that Abigail, being a woman of good understanding, she acknowledged and revered the God of Israel. Yes, the God of Israel as one who leads, protects, and cares for his people. In the case of David, a man was pursuing after him to take his life. But Abigail assures David that Jehovah God will preserve David's life because he fighteth the battles of the Lord and is not evil. And as far as David's enemies are concerned, the Lord will deal with them in his own way. Ah, brethren, what a good lesson we have before us. Proverbs 3:6 tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That is the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Every mature child of God must learn well and appreciate the sentiment of this verse. Experience has taught us the imperfection of our own judgment in many things and the imperfection of human counsel. We have learned and are still learning to trust the Lord implicitly. And in order to trust the Lord, a knowledge of his word and the plan of salvation are very important. What do they do for us? They inspire trust and confidence, not only in the ability and wisdom of God, but also in his justice and in his love. And it is not only proper that God's children should trust him in their hearts, but also that they should confess and acknowledge him as their Lord and Master in all of their affairs. Yes, in every experience, in every trial, in every walk of life. And such as are careful to acknowledge the Lord have the assurance that he will direct their paths. Their paths will not be directed in ways most pleasing to the fallen nature, but most helpful for the new creation, new creature. And then we notice further in our narrative how Abigail speaks about David's enemies. She says, God will take care of them in his own way. The souls of thine enemies, them shall he, the Lord, sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so, my brethren, whatever punishment would come to our enemies for their sin, we would not inflict, but leave the matter to the Lord. Justice always metes out punishment for every wrong. And next we notice from our narrative that Abigail projects David's thoughts to the future. That when he becomes king or ruler of Israel, he will not regret, nor will it be an offense of heart to him, that he has neither shed blood causeless, nor avenged himself. Paraphrasing, Abigail was saying, David, when you become king, you can look back and praise the way the Lord has led you day by day. And brethren, might not this be a good lesson for us? How often have we left matters in the Lord's hand and then looked back and praised the way he has led us, yea, to this very hour? No matter how far along we have come in the narrow way, there are always branching paths leading from it. Yes, paths of self-will, of pride, of worldly ambition, of selfishness, yes, which lure us to leave the direct path. And brethren, we notice that these paths, at first, emerge so gradually from the narrow way as to seem very little different from the main one. But gradually they diverge They diverge more and more from it, so that any of the Lord's people filled with the spirit of righteousness, filled with truth and love, may soon discern the change, the different spirit, and the different tendency. All pilgrims seeking the heavenly city, the kingdom, are exhorted by the word of God to be very watchful. To be very watchful against, yea, all the wiles of the adversary. Especially his disposition to switch us from, yea, this narrow way. And so, my brethren, as well, that we should be on guard to note the spirit of all with which we have to do. And to refuse to go forward in any direction in which the spirit of holiness, the spirit of meekness, purity, and love does not lead. And if we have gotten into the wrong way, and our hearts be still loyal to the principle of love, we need not go very far from the wrong course without finding out and, yes, retracing our steps. But it is still better that we enter not the path of the wicked. And then as we continue on in our narrative, we notice that Abigail tells David that when he becomes king, to remember her as the handmaid which brought the message of the Lord to him. You know, brethren, so often we forget about the messenger that the Lord sends to his people. We wonder why the Lord had sent Abigail to David. Why didn't he send a prophet or a man, or maybe better, an angel? Well, we believe he sent Abigail because the message would not have been as effective if the Lord had sent someone else. As we consider this portion, we find that this becomes an interesting study as to the manner in which the Lord sends messengers and messages to his people. We note how the Lord chooses devout, good, and pious men and women to be his messengers. At times, the Lord uses a brother to bring a message. Or he might use a sister to convey a message. Or he might use a brother and a sister. Or a married couple. As for instance, he used Aquila and Priscilla, you recall. It was after St. Paul was gone from Ephesus, we find that a Jew named Apollos, a convert to Christianity, came there and preached Christ with considerable boldness, but knowing only the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance, which was for the Jews only. And you recall that Aquila and Priscilla were attracted to this eloquent man, and they privately instructed him in the way of the Lord more perfectly, yes, more fully, explaining to him, doubtless, respecting the Pentecostal blessing and the unction of the Holy Spirit possible to all believers. And we see that their course was very commendable in that they did not publicly oppose Apollos, but appreciated the work that he was doing and sought to assist him to a more complete, a more thorough ministration of the gospel. And so, my brethren, is the word that is spoken in season, not only the proper word, but in the proper manner that the Lord is pleased to bless. And we recall how Phoebe, a sister in Christ of the church in Centuria, assisted many, and especially the great apostle Paul. And this is recorded for us in the 16th chapter, the first and second verses of Romans. And then we also recall Philip the evangelist's four daughters, virgins, who did prophesy. And so we see that the apostle greatly appreciated the cooperation of female believers and speaks of them in the highest terms of appreciation. And we could go on, and we could find another field of study, the field of the messengers to the seven churches. In other words, this would be a study by itself as to regard the messengers, the kind of messengers, and also the messages that the Lord gave throughout the scriptures. But coming back to our narrative, in 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter and the 32nd verse, we find that David answers Abigail. And we notice that David also was wise and of good understanding in his answer to Abigail. Notice what happened. He immediately recognizes the Lord's hand in his experience, and he blesses the Lord God of Israel. You see, Abigail blessed the Lord, and he likewise. They both realized or had the same thought. He then accepts Abigail as a messenger from the Lord, and her character as a person. This is what is called winning thy brother. And he accepts graciously the offer of food which Abigail brought. And notice how gracious David's words are. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand." And so David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person." Oh, to God, if most of the experiences between brethren would end in this manner. But alas, it is not so. Recognizing or discerning the Lord's hand in a given experience is not always an easy matter. Consideration must be given to faith, to knowledge, and to circumstance. And it is a good rule when one is uncertain as to what is the right course, is to simply stand still and wait. That is, if the matter can be dealt with in that way, or in that manner. But if the matter cannot be delayed, but must be determined at once, then we seek the Lord's guidance in the study of His Word, taking all the verses, trying to find the principles of God's dealings and teachings on every subject. We are to commit all to God and to ask Him to guide our judgment and our reason, and then go out and use that judgment and reason the best we know how. When Abigail came back home, she found her husband Nabal had made a merry feast, and he was very drunken. And so Nabal, being of good understanding, said nothing to her husband that night because of his condition. And my brethren, here's another good lesson for us. That is, to weigh the situation as to know when to speak about certain matters and when to be quiet until the proper time. In Proverbs it tells us, Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken in season, oh, how good it is." There are times in a husband and wife relationship in which one word or no words may be more valuable, more potent, than would be 100 words or 1,000 words at another time under different circumstances. And this would also hold true when speaking to our brethren in the Lord. Oft times the Lord withholds us certain matters until we are ready to receive them. And this is especially true when we become intoxicated with the world. And my brethren, this becomes a special lesson to us as consecrated people. The intoxicating influences of the world affect us as new creatures. There is an intoxication in wealth, in luxury, in ease, which allows the soul to forget our covenant by sacrifice, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and to be dead to the world. There is an intoxication of pleasure, of fashion, of pride, and a fond desire, which appeals to the new creature very strongly through the various avenues of the mortal body. It seeks to intoxicate, to dull the new mind, to make us dull of hearing as respects spiritual things. It makes us lax in respect to our zeal for the Lord, the truth, and the brother. It makes us covet the things that would be approved by the world and pleasurable to our own flesh and harmonious to the wishes and exhortations of our friends. And so to all of these intoxicating allurements, our answer must be a great no. We have covenanted our lives that we shall henceforth be dead to earthly interests and alive toward God. Yes, my brethren, our joys, our pleasures must be of a spiritual kind. And we must become so enthused and so enraptured with the heavenly things, with the joy and peace and blessing of the eating and drinking at the Lord's table and being filled with His Spirit, that the intoxicants of the earthly joys will have less and less attractions for us. And then we notice that when the morning light had come and the wine had gone out of Nabal, Abigail told her husband all that transpired between her and David. And then a strange thing happened. Nabal's heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. And in verse 39 of 1 Samuel 25, we notice David's reaction. How his mind flashes back to Abigail's words of how the Lord takes care of the enemies. It says, "And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And the 42nd verse tells us that Abigail hastened and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his beloved wife. And brethren, we can be assured that Abigail continued to be a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance in the household of David. And so may these few lessons be a help to us until we see our bridegroom face to face.
Thank you, Leonard, for the lessons that we have had, and our hope is that we may apply them in our lives, not just forgetting them as we go along in our daily life, but remembering them and thinking about them and applying them in our lives so that we can better please the Lord. Let us close with the use of number 176. We'll rise in the last verse, be led in closing prayer by our brother Leonard. 176.
Now, our gracious Heavenly Father, humbly we come before Thy throne of grace to thank Thee for this privilege we have of assembling with those of like precious faith, those that love Thy truth, those that have made a full consecration unto Thee by sacrifice. We thank Thee that Thou hast kept us through another week, has brought us together again to consider a portion of Thy word. And may the lessons this morning, Father, be a stimulus to us to walk this narrow way as Thou hast indicated. Continue to give us strength and guidance and help in the days ahead. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.